There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I always say, you always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. As always, on tap today, in an hour, Jeff Seeley with his best bets for the Players' Championship in golf. Chad Andrus in 90 minutes, Denver radio host. Kind of a busy day and week and time right now to be living in that city. And Tim Brando in 2 hours on college basketball, all these tournaments, who he might like as a long shot to win something. We had a 10-1 cash last night, which we'll tell you about coming up in about 15 minutes. I love days like yesterday, Pauly. Can't get enough of them. And that's why the NFL will always be king with, like, what, that 90-minute or two-hour stretch where you had Rodgers announce what he was going to do, coming back to the Packers, and then just you knew that once you heard the news of the trade, that Seattle and Denver were working on that for quite some time. And they get the deal done. It's a monster. Doesn't happen all the time in the NFL. Wilson to the Broncos in exchange for a ton of picks and a couple of players as well, including Drew Lock. But there's a lot to talk about with this trade, and I like it quite a bit for Denver. I don't know how you can.
Yep. Yes, they had to do it. Great job going all in. They haven't been able to find that quarterback since Manning. I mean, you have to get more if you're Seattle. I mean, that's all you get for a great quarterback like that. I don't know why you would want Locke, but it's a full rebuild now, too, after the Wagner news.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people tweeted this, and I agree. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You pick up the phone and you ask about Metcalf. Just call.
Well,
you have to now because Seattle's doing the right thing. I mean, you have to blow it up and start over.
So after the trade and then the news of Bobby Wagner getting released, reports then surfaced that they're open to trade talks for Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
So then why would you not be, you know, at least willing to pick up the phone if it's going to be on Lockett as well and just torch the entire thing down?
Right.
Start all
right.
over.
Because I'm sure he'll be unhappy too. I mean, Metcalf's got to be looking around and say, oh boy. I mean, who am I? Drew Lock, Geno Smith?
Uh-huh.
I mean, what Seattle does at quarterback now? Do they take a quarterback at 9? Do they, I know our guy Mike North, do they go get Trubisky? Who can they acquire now? But I mean, it's realistically now they should be 150, 200-1 to win the Super Bowl, and 20-1 to win the division.
7-1 is the number, right?
That's great. Yeah. Well, with the Wagner news and out, it's obvious they're going to rebuild. I think that's has to move, but right.
not close to being enough.
Yes,
at all to consider Seattle as a bet to win that division, especially when, guys, let's consider here who is in their division ahead of them. I mean, that is just and so that guy, Russell Wilson, there's a lot to say about him as well. Like he kept them as a division contender and a playoff, you know, perennial playoff team like every single year. Now this year was the first time that he ever got injured. He missed a couple of games. He played in 14 out of 17, so he missed those three games. And you look at his numbers overall, still completion percentage of 64.8. His TD to INT ratio was 25-6. Passer rating was still 103.1. Okay, so those numbers will not look like his best year of all time, which it wasn't. So, you know, maybe he's starting to decline a little bit. But also, let's consider the injury for the first time ever in his career, like I said. And you cannot forget the coaching staff and what their number one MO was. I mean, this mantra, let Russ cook, became a thing because they never would let him cook. It was always about, no, we're going to be a run-first team. Although the Seahawks, during Russell Wilson's time in Seattle, they've always had a very bad offensive line, like a bottom 10 in the league, like almost every single year. Chris Carson, because of the injuries, he didn't know if he was going to be playing from a week-to-week basis. He missed, you know, almost the entire year last year. And yet they were still like Alex Collins, DJ Dallas. Why not? Rashad Penny looked good down the stretch. Yeah, give him the ball some more.
Yeah, I actually think he's underrated.
Russell Wilson.
When they were making the playoffs and championship games every year, the Green Bay-Seattle NFC title game was on NFL Network yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy, they lost that game, I'll never know. But I never thought Baldwin and Curse were anything special.
Oh, God, no.
And it was Russ, in my opinion. So the other thing is, I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're definitely a playoff contender and in the mix now with the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a great move. I mean, it's a great sports town. They're crazy about the Broncos. And I think a lot of people are going to find out there's a lot of talent on that team. A lot of talent. Okay. And we love Teddy Two Gloves, and he's an ATS machine. But it's a significant upgrade. So, right. And the Motley Crue list here, Simeon, Flacco, Keenum, Locke, Allen, Rippon, Driscoll. Paxton Lynch played in 5 games. Huh? Oh, God. The whiffs on the draft picks. Bringing guys in every year. Free agency route, my God. I think Denver goes to Seattle next year, too, as well. So you go back to 2016. Denver's tied with Washington for most starting quarterbacks with 11.
And you know what? I'm sorry to say this for Seahawks fans. Today, actually going back to yesterday, they have now, kind of coincidentally enough, they've turned into the Broncos because they had that taste of what it's like to win a championship and have that one outstanding franchise quarterback for a decade. I mean, who are the other great quarterbacks in Seattle's history? Jim Zorn is ahead of before my time. He was pretty good. Dave Craig was the other good quarterback in Seattle. Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, Russell Wilson, in my lifetime, was by far and away the best quarterback to play in Seattle. And they won a championship with him. And it's difficult for these organizations to find that new quarterback to be their franchise guy for 10 years. And once they've had this, they're going to want that feeling back, and they're going to be searching for that quarterback as long as Denver has been. Forget Manning.
Yeah.
Since Elway.
Yeah.
And since they had Elway for that, you know, 15, 16, 17-year stretch, whatever it was, and they were that successful, after he left, they were like, what do we got to do? And it took a long time to find Peyton Manning, but they finally did it. And now he left, and that's been a long time, and they never were able to get the guy until Wilson. And then you kind of do what you have to do to get that feeling back.
Well, the Wilson thing was kind of luck. That's where I respect Pete Carroll for. No one's job is guaranteed, and we're always competing. That year, they gave Matt Flynn a huge deal.
They did.
And then they go, okay, let's take Wilson. And then look at this. The guy's going to win a job.
It always drove me nuts because the early days of the Legion of Boom, yes, I get it, Seattle, they were clearly loaded on defense. In fact, the defense is there for Seattle in like 2013, 2014. If you go back and look at their overall metrics, they're right there with some of the best defenses of all time. But on offense, again, like you said, he didn't make Doug Baldwin, the receiver that he was.
Yeah, he did.
And Curse and other guys, of course he
absolutely
did. And he came in the same year as Andrew Luck, and it was all, oh my God, this Andrew Luck is so good.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, come on, look at the defense.
Mm-hmm.
The people that were all in on Andrew Luck refused to admit that they were wrong on Russell Wilson for like the first 6-7 years of his career. It drove me nuts. The guy's awesome. And now I can't wait to see what this is going to look like. I think Noah Fant's really good, but I also think their backup tight end, Albert O, along with Sutton and Hamler and Jerry Jeudy and the running back, Javonte Williams, who I love, and a decent offensive line. Put it this way, Paulie.
Good defense.
Yeah, we brought this up again last year. Like full-time film guys who break this down on a weekly basis. They said it back-to-back years. Like what's missing with Jerry Jeudy? They'd pop on tape. They'd watch him play. They're like, you know what? He's the same Jerry Jeudy. Just can't get him the ball. So now you have that guy who was in college the best receiver that year with a loaded receiver class, and you have Wilson to get him the ball. He's not going to thrive?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and I love the guy. I think he's one of the you could say he's the second or third best quarterback of all time, Elway. Madden once said, I've never seen a one-man show like this when he was taking him to the Super Bowl.
For sure.
Those are bad teams. But it's just, come on, Vance Joseph, Fangio, getting it wrong every year with the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I mean, Hackett can't be any worse. He can't be. So to me, that has to be an upgrade.
I would agree.
With Fangio, too.
Yep.
So what do you think of the adjustment? And you know, the books kind of got lucky here, too, because they were expecting Rodgers, and they couldn't boost it up and keep the future odds high on Denver because of the Rodgers rumors.
Right.
But it worked out for the book. They are plus 225 to win the division at Bet Rivers. They're 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. And in light of the Rodgers news, Green Bay got bumped up to minus $2 to win their division,
right.
The North.
Okay, so I'm going to say the same thing today that I said about the Rams last year when they traded for Matthew Stafford. Can they win the Super Bowl? Sure, maybe they can. But should they be like the favorite? No, absolutely not. But they can eventually this year, as it plays out, they can be as good as KC. I mean, if the ball breaks their way, right? And they could eventually come out of the AFC and play for a Super Bowl. They could. I'm just not going to bet them at 12-1. I was this close to getting 30-1 yesterday.
Ah.
Missed it by a couple of seconds.
Yeah, okay.
I'd take 30-1.
Sure.
I'm not taking 12-1.
What a division now.
Oh,
Carr, Herbert, Mahomes, Wilson. That's great. That is awesome.
Yep.
But it was a great run for Seattle, but now it's over. Now you rebuild. You try to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I would have moved on from Pete Carroll a while ago.
That's the thing.
I mean, he's just stuck in his ways and stubborn, hard-headed. But this is, in the Adams thing probably helped this out too. That Adams trade was horrible.
You have to wonder if this is maybe a little bit of a make good for that. Oh, look, now we have no first-round picks for a long time. Well, what can we do to rectify that? Now we're just going to get rid of the best quarterback we've ever had.
Would you take Willis at 9?
That's a serious consideration.
Maybe a trade back, but him could not be. Maybe he's not there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's...
Well, here's the thing.
When you're looking at a quarter, you can't start Drew Locke.
No, come on. What are we doing here?
No.
Would you actually... What are the options then outside of Drew Locke? It's drafting, maybe, if he's there, assuming that he is, for the sake of this segment. It's drafting Willis or taking a guy like Trubisky?
Go Teddy.
Teddy Bridgewater?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe as an option.
Play a veteran while you get Willis ready. You could do that.
Yeah, you could do that,
I know
too.
This. The guy's on the roster. No, come on. Eason, Geno Smith?
No, no chance.
And Locke? No way.
Locke?
No. No way.
No way.
Cannot play.
You cannot take this seriously.
No.
This team. What's their win total if they go to war with Drew Locke as their starting quarterback?
Phew. That division?
4.5? Yeah, 5?
God. That low, you think?
If I make it 6, would you bet it over?
What do they trade?
Well, you bet under 6, right?
Oh, yeah.
So would
I. That's what they trade Lockett. You got to call. You got to call on Metcalf. Reach out.
Call,
you never
call
know.
On both guys.
Call. Call on Metcalf. What do you want? Everyone's got a price.
So in the end, Carroll won out over Russell Wilson. Boy, that is something else.
That's right. Yeah. Good job, though. I mean, it was people were interested. Washington made the call, too.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go.
I get you. I'll get more on that
good
later
job.
On.
Yep.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. Oh, look at this. A 10-1 conference dog cash last night. It got there, as did some serious dogs in the NHL. Paulie runs it down and wins some, lose some. Coming up next.
Bet Rivers is offering new customers a deposit match up to $250 when you sign up today. In addition to their welcome bonus, they have daily and ongoing promotions that can provide extra value. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com today to sign up. You got to be 21. Terms and conditions apply.
You excited for today?
Not really.
You don't like the card?
No. And it's also a lot of trash teams. Tomorrow's great. Friday's the nuts. I think Friday's the best day of the season. Duquesne 1-16 in conference. Oregon State 3-27, 1-19 in conference. San Jose State 1-17, Georgia 1-17, Georgetown 0-19, Southern Miss 1-17. There's some bad teams playing today.
Don't be Debbie Downer here.
Well, you asked me. Yesterday was great. I enjoyed Monday. I'm looking forward to Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, no feel.
Wednesday has no feel, yeah, huh?
But I'm ready. Come on, Colgate. Let's go. Let's get him in here. And again, to what we've talked about 10 minutes ago, Colgate put a scare in Alabama last year and had them down double digits. They can shoot. They can play. But it's so difficult when I'm a 15 seed every year.
Yeah.
And that's what it appears Colgate will be if they win today in the Patriot League championship game. These boys are good.
Well, that's why what Gonzaga has done over the last 25 years is just, I mean, they were a no-name, right? And you had to eventually win in the tournament, like, almost every single year, make deep runs for, you know, to catch the attention of the committee and everybody else, and then eventually that would turn into a two-seed. But it was never, it took a long time. That year
it did.
There was a year that, I think in 2001, when they were given a six-seed.
Dickow.
People thought there could be like a two that year.
Yeah.
And they were given, like, that Western region was bonkers. It was loaded that year.
Good angle, though. They complained all week, and it bothered them, and they weren't ready to play, and they lost by 11 seed Wyoming.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's right. But so this now, is, I mean, again, you got to give these guys respect. Colgate's always in there. Colgate's good.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, you're a damn 14 or 15 every year. You're up against it.
Yeah, and they swept Navy 69-50. Second time around was much closer, 74-69. This number opened up 7, total of 130. It's now dropped. I'm seeing 6.5, and the total is 127.5.
Wow, yeah, contrasting styles here, and Navy slows it down and plays low-scoring games, and Colgate can score, and they can shoot, and they dropped 100 on Syracuse earlier in the year. They are hot, red hot. They've won 18 and 19. Got to finish the job, and I know it's tough. Everyone can have a bad game. You saw what happened to Townsend, the one seed, but they're 40 minutes away. You get it on your home floor, you got to close. Form held here, but come on. One more for Colgate. Get in the big dance, and you can make some noise.
I think a great example is the game from last night, the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State.
Sure.
I mean, they easily could have lost that basketball game.
Yeah, they had to go 21-0 in conference.
Think about that.
But they got it done. But you're right. They're down one with 3 minutes.
American East semis. Small favorites of 4.5 points or more are 10-3 straight up, 9-4 ATS since 2015. Maryland Baltimore County does not qualify for that trend. They're laying 3.5 or 4 today. They beat Hartford both games this year, 68-64 and 92-85.
I laid it. Yep, I like them. The Retrievers. Let's do it again. Hartford only 12-19 on the season. So I think Baltimore County will get it done, and they will meet Vermont in the championship game Saturday morning to start it.
And then what's that number? Because Vermont today, they opened up 20.5 against Binghamton.
County's the 2 seed, I believe. I think, yeah, so that would be... But
Vermont's already been bet up. They're 21.5.
In a semifinal game?
Yeah. So the first time they played, they won 82-51. Second time, 66-49.
Yeah. Mama. Yeah. Ran right through the league. What, 17-1 conference record? Won the league by 5 games?
Here you go. They lost to Providence by 10.
Yeah.
They lost to Maryland by 11. They beat Colgate by 10.
Good team.
This Vermont team. This with 21.5 points, Paul, like that back door is going to be open. You would think pretty much the entire... Well, the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes of the second half.
Well, maybe.
Like the Gonzaga game against San Francisco the other night, right? They're up huge. And then they cruise late and they never never covered that number.
In a semifinal game.
I know.
Jesus.
And then some of the other games that we have today, the MEAC, Delaware State versus Norfolk. Now, Norfolk is laying 16.5 here. They won 80-51 in their first matchup. Much closer the second time, 69-66.
They didn't win a conference game, right? Delaware,
I don't think they did.
Delaware State went 0-14, I believe.
Yeah. Look at the number here in Norfolk to win this conference. That's actually a small number. I saw $1.90 or higher last night. They're $1.82 right now.
Okay.
That's at Bet Rivers.
Okay. I'm on board. That's right. What do you think of the Big East? We don't have a lot of numbers. How wasn't there a point spread on the Boston College game? They played early.
I know.
And doesn't make any sense.
I thought the number was going to be out yesterday afternoon. Yeah.
So Lenardi has Wake Forest last 4 bye. They better win today. You don't want to lose and give the committee a reason to keep you out. You have Xavier in action. Last 4 in. Va Tech, first 4 out. They're in action. And Virginia, next 4 out.
Yep.
They're going to have to win couple games. Maybe get to the championship game. Of the ACC, but with the ACC, I might come right back with Clemson. They look good,
and not bad.
Louisville looked good for a half, and then what happened there? That
was a weird game.
It got interesting in the second half.
Yep. So, I'm also very intrigued by the Syracuse Florida State game.
Yeah.
High total here. Syracuse is laying around 1. Total about 147. So Florida State, they actually split this year. And the Seminoles have won three straight after dropping 8 of 9. But don't forget with the Orange, they've lost 4 straight, including 2 heartbreakers. If you go back to the game against North Carolina, I mean, they led that game by a point with not much time left. Now, in terms of like covering and losing the game, that's a different story. But they lost the game in which they probably should have won. And the Miami game to close out the regular season is a game they absolutely had to win based on being up by, what, 7 in the final minute? They lost by 3. They couldn't cover. That's just absolutely excruciating to lose like that. Back-to-back games?
How much pain can you take? And then Boeheim's talking about the plans in place, succession.
Mm-hmm.
That's worked. So I think, yeah, I like Florida State. They've won 3 in a row. Syracuse, all these tough losses. I would look at Florida State there to start the day,
yep.
9 a.m.
I'll give you some notes that you can find if you sign up for the daily newsletter at vsin.com/subscribe. This is from Adam Burke, very good, with gambling advice on this network, about the Southland. He points out the conference lost a lot of its luster when Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian, Sam Houston State jumped to the WAC. The tournament actually starts today. Nichols, they're even money to win it. Number 3, New Orleans, is a second choice at 4-1. And he points out that Nichols is pretty clearly the best team. Even money's still a decent wager, he says, as they should not be tested in the quarters or the semis. And he also pointed out with that, with Norfolk State?
Mm-hmm.
He makes them 4.5 at home. Well, 4.5 or 5 probably in the championship game if they get there against Howard. He actually pointed out that he thinks Howard at 5-1 might be a decent bet to win the conference tournament with the value based on what it could be in the championship game.
Okay. Matt Youmans gave out Butler yesterday. We'll talk to Tim Brando coming up. Big East tournament, 1:30 Pacific, Butler and Xavier. Xavier laying 6. And Xavier 3 games under 500 in conference play.
Yeah.
But in, according to Lenardi, last 4 in. That's a bubble-icious game. They need that one or they could be sent home. And then got Conference USA again, too. See that? We had a couple people at the game who listened to the show. Yeah, with the curtain on that going.
We'll explain this again for people who don't know what you're...
They play games at the same time at the Frisco, at the Star, or whatever it's called in Frisco, Texas. And they that curtain.
They put a curtain down the middle of basically both courts. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going on at the same time. It has a really... It has an AAU feel to it.
Oh, the whole setup, yeah. Yeah, intramural feel. Absolutely.
I'll give you one more nugget here.
There we go. There it is, guys.
There's the look.
Yeah, there it is. That's
dead center is that curtain.
Oh.
You got to be kidding me.
Look at the setup.
And that's such a great photo.
Yeah. There's just little stands there. Split screen so I can watch both games being played at the same time.
Yep.
Good tweet. Sure. There you go.
One more nugget here from Adam Burke in the Daily Newsletter. He likes Elkhorn State to win the SWAC at plus 450. If you can find that number. I shopped around last night. I couldn't find more than plus 350. But he has a write-up on why he likes it, and you can get it again today at vsin.com/subscribe. Does a great job every single day in the newsletter. And if you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. I'll say this, too. One more thing on the with the NFL. And that big trade yesterday and what happened with Aaron Rodgers, there was a report then that came out from a longtime scout who said teams would be willing to maybe give up a second-round pick for Jordan Love. If you're the Packers and a team calls you and said, we'll give you a second, do you even hesitate? Why would you wait? Of course you take that offer.
Bad draft pick.
The 2020 draft. Is
he signed a four-year, 4 or 5-year extension, whatever it's going to be.
Huh?
So that's, yeah, he'll never see the field.
I wonder, do you think... You could have, instead of trading up, you think maybe you could have drafted T. Higgins to help out? Or a wide receiver that was still available in a loaded wide receiver class? Again, I point out all the time how this organization has botched it from the get-go. Up next, step your game up. The best and worst teams in the NHL, NBA, and college hoops, ROI, and ATS. And some of the very worst ATS teams in the country played yesterday. Was fading them profitable yet again? That's coming up here in Follow the Money.
That's what I always
said, you always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Look your best and draft your best with the Just for Men March Basketball Series. Draft a winning lineup and two free-to-play contests for your shot at a share of $10,000 in total prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/JFM now to join the action. DraftKings.com for details. TPC Championship, the biggest bomb he's ever given out, coming up in a second. It's time for Jeff Seely at Cutmaker Jeff on Twitter, CutmakerPod.com. Get on Telegram to get his plays. And the podcast with Tim Simons and Jeff Sherman from the Westgate is up and available as well. All right, my friend, there's a lot of money on the line here. This is going to be fun.
Guys, it's insane. I mean, we were just talking about this. What is it? Like $3.6 million for first place this week. I mean, that's why you get as good a field as any. That's why they call it the fifth major. I mean, $3.6 million is insane. I think you get $40,000 just for putting a tee in the ground. So it's going to be a ton of fun. And the pricing is insane this week. Like, we're going to do a little, like, NCAA-type discussion today. But the pricing you get on good golfers is absolutely insane.
Totally agree.
I want over on balls in the water on 17. And that prop is usually offered.
Yeah.
I want the over. We know about 17. Great, great hole. Tell us about the course.
Yeah, again, guys, TPC Sawgrass, obviously legendary course, 7,200 yards, par 72. There's water on 17 holes, and there's rain in the forecast this weekend, so it's going to play longer than normal due to that. But what's interesting, right, is this course has so much technology involved in terms of drying out the course that you can literally dry these greens out inside 2 hours. I'm not so worried about the greens being wet, because if the greens are wet, they could stick it with an iron and make it super easy. I still think it'll play hard, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, what's really interesting here is you don't have to be an elite putter. When you look at some of these guys that have won, tell me if any of these names sound like elite putters to you. Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, Siwoo Kim, Justin Thomas. None of them are elite putters. They're all champions of the Players. So it'll be interesting, but as long as they get everything in and we don't have too bad of weather, I expect it to be a lot of fun.
So we are currently showing the odds right now to win this bad boy, and at the top you have Justin Thomas and John Rahm at 10-1. This is at DraftKings, but John Rahm was available at 12 or 13-1, and that's not commonplace anymore with this guy. It is a loaded field, so I get it. Is that enough for you to actually make a bet on Rahm this week?
It's funny, every week we see some of the bets Jeff Sherman makes, I saw he bet John Rahm at 12-1, I about fell out of my chair because he never bets guys that low. I'm not going to bet Rahm at 13-1 yet. I'm a little bit greedy, and I'm going to wait till I get maybe a 15-1. That's usually the number I'm waiting to get him at. But a couple spots, Bet Rivers right now, for example, is one of your sponsors. He's 12-1 at Bet Rivers right now. So I think you can find him live at 15-1 if somebody gets off to a good start. So I'm going to be looking at Rahm live for sure. Again, I said I was going to bet him last week if he got high. He was 22-1 last week. He hung in there in a tough event. And so I'm going to do the same thing again. If he gets over 15-1, I'll play him again live.
Okay, give us the golfer. When you ran your numbers and your model, and this individual golfer just jumped off the page, who was it?
Yeah, it was Matt Fitzpatrick, guys, and we keep waiting for him to win, and that's not a secret. I think everybody's been talking about him for years. Every year people talk about him at Augusta. He's a darling in Augusta that people always like to bet. But he's coming in with three straight top tens, finished inside the top ten of eight of his last 19 events on tour, finished ninth in his last event here, trip here. And again, I just think this could be the very week he breaks through. 40-1 is actually a really low price in this field relative to some other golfers. But, I like him a lot this week. And my favorite bet of the entire week is Matthew Fitzpatrick, top 10 at 4-1. That's available at DraftKings. I like him a lot. And I just think he's a tremendous play this week in general.
Okay, let's do a little blind resume here. You have a mystery golfer. Run this down. We'll see if we can guess who you're talking about.
I do. So mystery golfer, this guy was born in Florida. He's 40-1 this week. And his past 2 years, he has a win and has finished inside the top 10 in 30% of his tournaments. He's finished 16th or better in two of his last three trips here, and is coming in having finished inside the top 16 in two of his last three events. The key for this guy lately has been his putting, and he's gained strokes putting in three straight trips to TPC Sawgrass, and he gained six strokes putting three tournaments ago where he finished third. Who is the golfer?
Well, I wanted to say Brooks Koepka, but I don't think, has he finished top 16 two out of the last three?
It's Brooks Koepka.
It is Brooks Koepka.
Oh.
It's Brooks Koepka. So, and again, like, I think he, for what I'm getting, 40 to 1, and the guy, he was earlier in the week, he was 50 to 1. I mean, I just, that's such a good price on Koepka. You know, again, I'm obviously a mark for him. I bet him more often than I should probably, but, but honestly, guys, like, 40 to 1, 50 to 1, and he's another guy. Like, I'm going to look to play live if he's even playing solidly. I'm seeing him as high as 45 to 1 at some spots right now. You can still get a good price on him. Koepka, again, I think based on the price alone, merits a play at you know, 40 to 1 or better.
Yep.
And guys, listen, I know Will Zalatoris sucks at chipping and putting, but he's 50 to 1 this week. And if you look at his stats purely tee to green, he is as good as anyone in the field. He's as good as Colin Morikawa. He's as good as Justin Thomas. Tee to green, Will Zalatoris is that good. And again, keep in mind, Adam Scott won here. Sergio Garcia won here. Siwoo Kim won here. So you don't have to be a great putter to win here. 50 to 1 for a guy who's striking the ball as well as Will Zalatoris, I think is a great price, and he's a bet I'm going to make this week.
Okay. By the way, on Monday morning when I was looking at odds quickly, like right away for this tournament, I saw Koepka 48 to 1. I didn't even look at it. I had to bet that number.
Yeah.
By default, yeah. 48 to 1 at Koepka, my God almighty, I'll take that every single day.
Well, and Mitch, that's exactly what I did with the next guy we're going to talk about in Tyrrell Hatton.
Okay.
I saw Tyrrell Hatton at 65 to 1. I mean, this guy is, I mean, arguably, you know, after Rory, you know, maybe one of the top, maybe the top European player like as a whole the last 5 years. I mean, I just looked at that price and I bet him. I mean, he finished second last week. And in my opinion, I think he's probably the 10th best player in the world. He doesn't play in the U.S. a ton, but he's got five top 10s in his last 20 tournaments in the U.S. And I would not be shocked at all if Tyrrell Hatton won this week. 65 to 1 on a guy of this class and pedigree, just too high of a price. Again, same thing. I didn't look at any stats. I saw the price and I bet him.
All right, follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson, the Sports Betting Network. Jeff Seely, our guest, golf handicapper at Cutmaker Jeff on Twitter, and get the Cutmaker podcast as well, cutmakerpod.com, and the plays on Telegram. Okay, so two bombs here, and the biggest long shot you've ever given out on the program, and it's a mystery golfer. Again, blind resume. Take it away.
Yeah, guys. So, guys, Cameron Young has flown under the radar. We talked about him a little bit last week, and all he did was come in again with another really good performance. He is sixth in the field in total strokes gained over his last six events. So he is sixth in the field. So he's ahead of Rory. He's ahead of Hideki. He's ahead of Victor Hovland. He's ahead of Xander Schauffele. Cameron Young is ahead of all these guys in total strokes gained. In his last 10 events, he has five top 20s. His short game has been the only thing holding him back. If he can even be neutral on a short game this week, I love Cameron Young. He's 130 to 1. And you can find him top 20 at DraftKings at 4-1. Another play I like a lot. And then we got another blind golfer. This guy is 500-1. He is plus 450 to finish top 40. And this guy, this is a former top 10 player in the world with five PGA Tour wins. So this isn't a scrub. He's finished 12th or better in three majors, including two top 10s in majors. And he's 500 to 1. And oh, by the way, last week he was on his way to a top 10 finish when he had one bad hole. He ended up finishing 20th. But this is a guy who could have very easily finished 10th last week if he didn't have a 9 on a blow up hole on the back nine on Sunday. So you got a guy, you're never going to guess this in a million years, but I'll give you guys each one guess. Take a stab, 500 to 1. Who might this golfer be? Oh, I'll give you another hint. he is a Las Vegas resident.
Oh. Jimmy Walker.
Nope. Paul, you got a guess?
I don't. I was watching the damn tournament. Who the hell blew? Who is it?
Nick Watney.
Okay.
Nick Watney he's finished 30th and 20th in his last two events. Should have finished 10th last week. His form is decent. He's not a huge hitter, but he doesn't have to be here, guys. And again, he's 500-1. You put $20 on that, and Nick Watney comes in, you're gonna be really happy. And I love a bet +450 to finish top 40 on DraftKings. I love that play. I think that's a great play this week. Throw some piece of money on Nick Watney, and it'll make for an entertaining sweat. And guys, lastly, two quick matchups I've played.
Okay.
I played Rahm over JT this week. I do like John Rahm. And we talked about it for the price. I played him -120 over JT. And I played Sungjae Im at even money on DraftKings over Billy Horschel.
All right, pal. Great info as always. Knock him dead this weekend.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Be good. There you go. He gave about like 7-8 guys that for make good cases for all of them at their numbers.
Yeah.
The thing, I mean, you're going to find so much because the field, again, is absolutely loaded. $3.6 million for first. Everybody's going to want their hands on that, right? You need to be careful selecting the guys because they're all going to look attractive. I guarantee the numbers here later on today at Circa are going to be eye-popping. What? I can get him at what?
Yeah, I'll move it.
Mm-hmm. All right, up next, I'm calling BS on this part of the Seahawks-Broncos deal. And is making a future bet on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl at this point a bad idea? That's coming up.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. A lot going on in Denver, baby. And a friend of the show, Chad Andrews, joins us now and to talk about what's going on with the Broncos and Jokic and the Nuggets. NBA play-by-play, does play-by-play for a long time in Denver, sports talk show host as well. Okay, I guess you wanted Rodgers, but you got the next best thing with Wilson here. The city's got to be on fire now. They are in the mix to be a playoff team, and who knows, maybe even more now. What are people thinking about the deal there?
Well, when you say you, do you mean the city that I'm speaking for or me specifically with the Wisconsin helmet behind me? I pulled up the Twitter receipts yesterday for the last year since last year's draft where I was stating Wilson was plan A all along. But I'm by far in the minority, right? Rodgers was the discussion. Rodgers was the national discussion. Everyone seemed to think he was the target. I always thought Wilson was George Payton's, was the apple of his eye since day one, since he took the job. He's younger. He's less of a headache. He's still more mobile. I thought that's who he wanted from the jump. I get all the talk about Rodgers when he's a back-to-back MVP and he's had the career he's had. But it was less than 2 hours after he was going back to Green Bay that everything kind of switched and turned in this town and everybody went from the Jerry Jeudy sad face on Twitter to, practically starting the parade. So, yeah, everybody's thrilled.
I was shocked at what they didn't have to give up. Only two ones, two twos in Locke and Fant?
Absolutely. Shelby Harris is an asset. He's a good player. And the picks, right? The picks obviously always mean something. Noah Fant's very average. In fact, Albert O, right, more talented, should thrive with Russell Wilson. And Locke is worthless, right? I don't know if they could have gotten a sixth or seventh round pick for Locke, right? It was minor, right? I mean, picks are always going to hurt, but you got to give to get, right? And for a quarterback to be traded this way, this is something new for us, right? Even after Stafford last year, I guess if you want to include Carson Wentz or whatever last season. But these are things that never happened in the NFL before, right? I mean, Peyton Manning was injured and was a free agent. He wasn't traded here. But to see trades now happen at the most important position in sports, it's truly something to celebrate when you're on the winning end.
Yeah. Was a player like Chubb ever part of the conversation? Like, did the Seahawks ever say, hey, look, I mean, can we get Sutton? Can we get Jerry Jeudy? Or was that, was it just like, no, give us the picks and we'll take Drew Lock and we'll settle for, like, a, you know, Shelby Harris?
That's something I don't know if we're ever going to find out who all was in the conversation. You know, and Bradley Chubb, quite honestly, it would have been fine if he went too, right? He's got talent, but he hasn't lived up to the billing.
Always hurt.
Always hurt. And really, you know, I think there's only like 6 or 8 games or something total that he and Von Miller ended up playing together because of the various injuries. To be honest with you, they do need a pass rusher, right? That's probably what they're going to be targeting in the draft, is an edge rusher. So if he can live up to his potential with a new coaching staff, I don't know if that's, if you can expect more out of him when he goes from a Vic Fangio to an offensive coach.
Yes.
But I don't know if we're ever going to find out who all was in the conversation, but to be able to maintain Jeudy and Courtland Sutton, and KJ Hamler should come back healthy next year and still have Albert O as tight end and still have, you know, your running backs. And if you potentially bring Melvin Gordon back, right, to not give up the big hitters on offense, regardless of if you're an Noah Fant fan or not, and get a quarterback that can now get the ball to them, that's a huge win.
I don't know how big of an upgrade it is, but maybe in a year, people in Denver think this guy's Lombardi. I mean, I'll tell you this, for to go from Joseph to Fangio, Hackett can't do any worse, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, the one thing, win, lose, or draw, they're at least going to be exciting, right? They have a quarterback and an offensive coach. This team has gone 6 years not scoring points, right? They can't get 20 on the board, right? If they would have averaged 23 points a game this past year, I think they would have won 11 times, 11, 12 games. And they can't get 20. They can't get 23, right? And it's been that way since Peyton Manning left. The last year being the anomaly, right, where the defense carried them down the way after he was injured. But you have to provide some sort of entertainment. You can't, in today's NFL, think you're going to beat teams with defense, especially with the quarterbacks in this division. Yeah.
So, Chad, we just talked about this before you popped on, how strong and everybody knows this, right, how strong the AFC is at the top with all these quarterbacks. So where should we all put Denver right now, in your opinion, in terms of the pecking order with Russell Wilson at quarterback in the AFC, that division and the conference?
They're still behind Buffalo and Kansas City, obviously. After that, I think you got a little bit of a roll of the dice, right, with what schedules look like, what health looks like throughout the season. They should be a top four team in the AFC, right? I don't think, other than Buffalo, there's nobody in the East that's going to scare them, right? The West is the challenge,
it
right?
Is.
Because
yes.
what can you do against the other teams? Can you sweep any of the other teams, or is everything going to be a split, or are you going to get swept, right? I mean, that's where the challenge comes in, is those division games, they normally kind of are double, right? Because of you're giving up one to your opponent and you're taking the loss. But now, they almost would seemingly count triple when you're going to have four teams that could potentially be playing for playoff spots.
Talking Denver sports with Chad Andrus, Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Vesan. You've been pounding the drum for Joker, these triple doubles. I mean, what about the other night? What do you have, 30 points after in the fourth quarter alone, what he's doing? And he could have the highest PER of all time?
Yeah, the final 15 minutes of action, and it was really more like the final 12 when he exerted himself of the fourth quarter in overtime. He had 30 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and a steal. he's on pace to have the highest PER of all time, breaking the record, which I believe Giannis is still on pace to break his own record for the highest PER. Joker's just better. It's phenomenal, right? There's the stat that I think StatMuse put together comparing Giannis and Embiid and Joker the other day for leaders in categories of your basic stats and then all of your advanced metrics. And Giannis led in 4 categories, Embiid led in 6, one of which being usage, which isn't even really in his favor, and Joker led in 30. So if you're going to compare them head-to-head, look, all three are having amazing seasons. All three would normally be MVP worthy. But if you are actively campaigning against Jokic to win another MVP, it just tells me you're not watching the games every night. right? You know, when I watch Coach Thorpe with you guys, I know he's watching the games. I know he's seeing what everyone that gets to watch the games here is seeing, that Jokic right now is the best player in the world. And when you look at the numbers, it's undeniable.
He laughs. Yeah. David Thorpe laughs when you talk about Jokic, and he just goes, he's the best player in the world.
The fact is, Mitch, is people don't watch the games. People can't watch the games here because of the TV agreement. So I know national people and voters are not watching the games. They're looking at the numbers. And the numbers are staggering enough to make a case. But if you watch the game, you see how he truly impacts it and controls it possession by possession every single night.
How about this? Is a future ticket worth a bet on the Nuggets to win the Western Conference once, if whatever it is, they get these guys back like Porter and Murray?
If you have it 14-1 or more, like I do, you know, I think I still have the 14-1 to win the division, but that's sailed. You know, the Nuggets have won 11 of their last 13 games, averaging over 120 points per game, and they're about to get two of their top three scorers back. So you tell me.
That's nuts. Wow. What can we expect, though, from Murray? I mean, you know, it takes a guy like that recovering from that specific injury a long time to, you know, get back into the flow.
Murray is a huge question mark. You know, I'm thinking 80-85% would be a luxury if you have him at that for the playoffs. You certainly can't expect 50-point games, right? Porter, I think, will be closer to 100% and will return sooner. I would explore one, if not both, of those guys off the bench and mixing up some lineups a little bit, depending on their matchup. But I think Porter will return sooner. I think he will be closer to 100% Michael Porter. Murray, I think we're still waiting on, and I think we'll be lucky if he gets to 80-85%.
Okay, you can find the Nuggets at 13-1 to win the West, too, as well. 30 seconds. What do you think happens in the Mountain West Conference tournament?
Man, I still really have to lean Colorado State, except for a UNLV matchup, right? UNLV just dominated them. Yeah. It was a huge anomaly. I think they got the best player. I think they've got a really good coach. I think they've got a good team, but they are vulnerable when guys can take them off the dribble. They can't stop that penetration. They can't stop those one-on-one matchups. But I would probably still lean the Rams.
You can follow Chad on Twitter. He's at Chad Andrus. It's A-N-D-R-U-S. Thanks for waking up early, pal. Good to talk to you again.
Anytime, boys.
Thank you.
Be good.
Good to see you.
Chad's a radio host in Denver. And up next, we will get into today's NBA card. This player is averaging 41-plus points over his last three games on 53% shooting, 40% from downtown. And tonight's total is just shy of 230. How high is his points prop? We'll run down the docket coming up next.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
First Bet wants you to get in all the horse racing action. Sign up today, promo code VEGAS1000. Receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit VSiN.com/horses for details. Bonus code VEGAS1000.
Little college basketball here. We are efforting, as they say, Tim Brando. It is early. If we get him by the end of the show, that'd be great. Tonight's schedule, numbers are now popping, Paulie, on these games today. In the ACC, Florida State against Syracuse. This has been ping-ponging between FSU minus 1, 1.5, and the total is 146.5. These two teams split in the regular season. FSU, they've won, what, three straight?
Yeah.
After they lost 8 of 9, and Syracuse, it's been ugly for this team in terms of how bad the losses have been. Two games ago, easily could have won at North Carolina, gave that game away, couldn't even cover the 8.5 in overtime. And the following game against Miami, their end of the season, regular season matchup, they're up by 7 a minute to play.
Yep.
And they're laying 1 in that game. They got outscored 10-0 in the final minute and they lost.
Yep. As my guy Teddy Covers would say, if I'm playing, I'm laying. I mean, I want Florida State on the winning streak. How much abuse can you take, Syracuse? You're blowing these games, and
I'm with you. I like Florida State.
Yeah.
It's like that BC Pittsburgh game yesterday. Boy, was that easy if you were on BC.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were laying a couple. That's why I say that, just because FSU was late.
Boeheim's talking about the succession plan and every.
Fresh numbers here. So after winning the game yesterday, BC plays at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. They're catching 9.5 against Wake, and that total is 142.
Wake beat them by 30 earlier.
And you said that Lenardi has them?
Last for a bye.
Ooh.
Yeah, you lose this game, though.
That's not.
You better win.
It's a bad loss, then.
I know. Must win doesn't mean must bet. But that's, they're 12-19. Yeah, you lose this game, out.
And Wake's had a pretty decent season.
Yeah. That's a horrible loss, though, if you get beat here today.
I would say this. If you're the type that likes to play money line parlays, I would probably look at Wake on that money line parlay to win the game. All you have to do is win the game, along with another team I'll tell you about coming up here in a few minutes. Other numbers in the ACC after Clemson defeated NC State. Clemson covered yesterday.
They did.
They're catching Vatek today. The Hokies lane 4, total is 130.5.
Okay.
And then the other game is Louisville, Virginia.
I'm sorry.
Do you have something on the game?
Yeah, first four out, Vatek. First four out. And Virginia next four out, according to Lenardi.
Okay.
That's Lenardi. I would come right back with Clemson.
Bet him again plus the 4.
Yeah.
Would you look at Moneyline?
This is round 2, my friend. This is round 2.
Yeah.
20-0 ATS run. The winner, in this round only, ACC round 2, who wins the game? The team that wins the game is covered 20 in a row.
Is that right?
20 in a row in this round. ACC round 2 only. Another gem from Point Spread Weekly.
Okay.
Nuts. Goes back to 2017.
Wow.
So, yeah. Either lay it with Wake or take the money line.
I'm seeing that. Okay. Round 2 favorites are 14-6 straight up in ATS. But what you're saying is just win the game regardless, and the point spread has nothing to do with it. 20-0. Okay.
Team that wins the game is 20 covered 20 in a row.
What do you think of the Louisville game yesterday against Ja Tech?
Bizarre. Did whatever they wanted the first half. Tale of two halves, I guess.
It was.
And then, but you're going to see that. I mean, can a lot of these kids put together a strong 40 minutes? I mean, there's a reason you're playing in the first round. I mean, you stink. There's issues. But they let Ja Tech right back in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at even the championship game of the Horizon. I mean, you're up 17 in the second half. You're 15 minutes away. You're dancing. You're punching your ticket. Celebration. Let's go. You blow it.
Couldn't close the deal.
Yeah.
That's a sick beat if you had that team. Yep. And today, Louisville on a back-to-back, of course, as they all are here for these teams that play in these tournaments after they win, catching 5 against Virginia. Total is 123.5. And you're saying Virginia per Lenardi's next 4 out.
Yeah, probably have to win 2 or 3.
I anticipate a win from that team today.
Yeah.
So the other team I was talking about, if you do Moneyline parlays, now, on a regular season win total, Cal kind of took a bite out of my ticket by winning as a 14-point dog against Oregon. And if Oregon wins that game, I get at least a push. They're catching 8 today against Wazoo. I tell you, Washington State is pretty decent.
Yeah, they were great Saturday.
And I've now heard people on this network make the case. I think it was Roxy Bernstein yesterday.
Oh, Roxy.
On with the Edge.
Yeah.
I think he was saying that watch out for this. He calls a lot of these games in the Pac-12. And he said Washington State can be dangerous. They're laying 8. I know this. I'm going to have Wazoo on Moneyline parlays today.
With Oregon?
I don't know if I can trust Oregon.
Oregon State won so bad. They won one conference game.
No, I know. Maybe Oregon. Maybe I'll throw that. But if Cal bites me today again, yeah, I'll jump off the Bay Bridge. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Got that, yeah.
I'm joking, by the way. But I'll find something to do.
This is fun.
I'll shave my head. How about that? I'll shave my head if Cal.
Dustin, Bill Walton's in town. Let's go. In studio.
We'll get an hour.
We'll get 2 questions in.
It's not that big of a request. In studio, 5 a.m. for an hour.
I can't wait to get a big dose of Bill Walton all week. Thank you for our lives, the Conference of Champions. He wants the whole thing. He'll make the case that Oregon State should get an at-large.
Of course he will.
Yes, he will.
He had 6 teams in from the Pac-12 last week.
He's arguing with Pash.
Pash is like, what's wrong with you?
They're in, absolutely. Come on, what do you know? He's great.
Has Pash ever gone down like the drug route with him? Like, Bill, what kind of drugs are you on tonight, huh?
Yeah, and Bill would answer probably. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loves the dead. He's a deadhead.
Yes, he is.
Sure. Comes with the territory. You have to show up high.
In the Big East, Matt Youmans was making a case yesterday for Butler.
Yes, he was.
Plus a six against Xavier. That number is still available right now.
Xavier, that last four in, according to Lenardi. You got to need it. Got to have it. Three games under 500 in conference. You better win. And I say no go. Three under 500, get out.
Yeah,
I don't want you.
I don't want you either.
No, you're not good enough.
Other Big East numbers, St. John's 4.5 against DePaul. Total there is 153.5. That makes sense for that matchup to be really high. And Georgetown Seton Hall, the Hall is laying 10. Total is 144. You still appreciate the Big East, like, you know, how awesome it was when we were younger and growing up and that tournament and
the Garden. Even close. Back in the day, no.
But there was a good.
Remember the Ray Allen, Allen Iverson?
Come on,
and,
come on. Think about
the
talent.
The pageantry and the mystique of the Garden. It's a good tournament. I mean, it's wide open. But to be what it used to be, and that's, no, those days are long.
I've been told, because they did a 30 for 30 on the Big East.
It was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been told that the ACC network is running something called the History of the ACC tournament or the conference or whatever. And I guess it's sensational. That would make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like the glory days of the ACC and the Big East with all the talent that went through there. And I mean, the Big East and the tournament at the Garden was just like must watch television for like a 20-year stretch.
Yes, it was. Oh, God, the names. We're going to show our age, but he's just Derek Coleman. Pearl Washington, you think about
Chris
that,
Mullen, man. Walter Berry on the Mark Jackson on the St. John's teams, the Georgetown teams that were just, but even the, like with UConn in the
was John Wallace on Syracuse when Iverson was at Georgetown and Ray Allen was at UConn.
Yes,
at the same time.
Oh,
great! Did you mention the Arizona State game?
I did not.
They're four. They're out. They're playing here at noon. Four against Stanford. They're hot. They won 7 of 8.
Yep,
that could be a look too.
And one spot is offering Arizona State 250-1 to win the Pac-12. I saw.
No. I don't want it. And it should be, fingers crossed, though. To me, it's just an easy path for Arizona. I've said it all week. Arizona, the $1.20 range, would shop around, but to win it. But Arizona should be in the title game. And then are you facing UCLA?
Yep.
But we could get UCLA, USC in the semis. And that would be awesome.
Yep. What do you make of UNLV, a small favorite against Wyoming?
Like them. Yeah, that'll be a play coming up. UNLV opened 28-1 here to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lowest you've seen now? Five? They're in the six.
Six.
They're in the 4-5 game against Wyoming. Wyoming now last four in. I saw them as high as an 8 seed a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They are limping to the finish line. They lost three of their last five, including a loss out here to UNLV, and UNLV was favored. I come right back with UNLV. They're leaking oil. And one of the wins was Saturday at home in overtime against Fresno. I do not like what's going on with Wyoming.
Yep.
And Kruger's done a nice job. So I think UNLV wins, and they move on to the semis, and then who knows, it's up for grabs. You never know at that point, because this is, it's all about matchups, too. And like Chad Andrus talked about, well, I mean, if you face a Colorado, for whatever reason, they own Colorado State.
Yep.
They took him out in a body bag.
Might be looking at the under in this West Virginia-Kansas State game, currently at 136.5. Let me give you the track record here between these two teams. They split. The scores were 71-68 and 78-73, so they'd both go over this number today. But the Wildcats, they only won two games in January. Those were against Texas Tech and Texas. But their last win was Valentine's Day against this West Virginia team in this stretch. Losses at Oklahoma State, at Kansas, Iowa State, at Texas Tech and Oklahoma. So they've played a meat grinder of a gauntlet. Double cliche. I'm going to go double cliche on you all day long. And the Mountaineers lost 14 of 15 before closing the season with a 6-point win against TCU. So both of these teams, you know, not in great form whatsoever. But you look at K-State's schedule, it's like, okay, well, they have had some good wins going back to January. And the losses, pretty much against, you know, rock-solid teams. Might be a little bit short lane one. Huggy Bear, not a great team this year. It's unfortunate because I like it when Bob Huggins has good
teams.
There's
a lot of programs like that this year where like you look up, you're like, what the hell happened?
Yep.
I'll give you another one, Utah. They're in the 8:30 game.
That's right.
What happened to Utah? Let's just get Colgate in, huh? Colgate can beat somebody in the first round.
They can give somebody a scare.
They've won 18-19. They can shoot. They can score. They were awesome last year in the first half against Bay. Let's go. Let's get a Colgate winter.
Up next, we will recap last night's betting action. Line moves, tons of upsets across the board in win some, lose some.